Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. At Rameshwar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a chance to read the Kurma Puran, in which he discovered that the form of Sita kidnapped by Ravana was not that of the real Sita, but a mere shadow representation. Purport. The Kurma Puran states that this shadowy Sita was placed into a fire as a test of chastity. It was Maya Sita who entered the fire, and the real Sita who came out of the fire. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahaganda Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanepyo Vaishnavepyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is continuing with his narration of the places where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went on his South Indian Yatra. In this first chapter of the Madhya Leela, he is only providing a summary. It is only later in the ninth chapter of the Madhya Leela that he will actually elaborate upon these very brief descriptions given here in this chapter. So here we see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has reached the southernmost tip of Rameshwar, Setu Bandha Rameshwar, and he has visited the temple there known as Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva there is known as Rameshwar. The word Rameshwar can be understood in two ways. Worshippers of Shiva understand that to mean that he is that Ishwar or Shiva who is the Lord of Ram. So Ram's worshipable deity is Rameshwar. That is how they would explain it. Because after all, that's the deity of Lord Shiva. So he is the Lord of Shiva, of Ram. And Ram came there, it is said, and he worshipped Lord Shiva at that place. Now, why did he do this? This is not mentioned in the Valmiki Ramayana, but nevertheless, that is mentioned in other places, and it is the common folklore in that area also. So why did Lord Ramachandra worship Lord Shiva? For one thing, Lord Ramachandra was playing the part of a human being. He wasn't playing the part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And naturally, he was going around to all the different holy places and offering obeisance to all the different famous temples and deities. For example, we see that Lord Chaitanya himself went and offered obeisances at all the famous temples, including of the demigods. As a sannyasi, And as a pilgrim, he went and offered obeisances to all these deities, of course, knowing fully well the other hat that these divinities were wearing, which is that they were exalted devotees of the Lord. The demigods wear two hats. One is their official hat, and the other is their personal hat. In their official hat, they are administrators of the universe. So they, in the course of their duties, award benedictions to their worshippers, which are usually material benedictions. But in their personal capacities, they are devotees of the Lord. And they are to be respected in that way. For example, we may have some of you, in your personal capacity, you are here today as devotees, sitting on the floor amongst all the devotees. Perhaps in your official capacity, you are something else. When you go to your office, you sit in a big chair behind a big table and you sign some checks and so on. If you sign a few checks for here also, it's nice, but anyway, you do all these official things behind the table. So you also wear two hats. Actually, you wear many hats. So similarly, the demigods also have many hats. And so one of them is that they are official administrators, but in their most intimate personal capacity, they are devotees of the Lord. So there is nothing contradictory, or is though there is no rasabhas or overlapping of mellows when a devotee offers obeisances to the demigods with this understanding. However, if the understanding is that the demigod is a supreme entity, then that is wrong. So in any case, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here and he offered obeisances to and worshipped Rameshwar, who the worshippers of Shiva think is the Lord of Ram. But another meaning of the word Rameshwar is Ishwar or Lord Shiva, whose Lord is Ram. The other way around, which means Lord Ram is the Ishwar of Shiva. So Lord Ram is a worshipable deity of Lord Shiva. And indeed, we see that Rama Rameti Rameti Iti Rame Manorame Sahasranama Bhistulyam Rama Nama Varanane. So Lord Shiva tells Parvati that I am chanting the names of Rama Rama Rama, you know, Rama Rama Rameti. Rame Rame Manorame. So, O Manorama. Manorama means one who is very pleasing. So, I get great enjoyment. Rame. Rame comes from Ramana, Ram, to enjoy. So, I derive great transcendental pleasure, O lovely faced one, O Durga, in chanting the names of Ram, 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 Ram. Sahasranama Bhistulyam. Sahasranam means the thousand names of Lord Vishnu. One name of Ram is equal to a thousand names of Lord Vishnu. Sahasranama Bhistulyam Ram Nama Varanane. So, Lord Shiva himself chants the name of Lord Ram. Ram is also Balaram. And Balaram is also Sankarshan. And actually, the worshipable deity of Lord Shiva specifically is Lord Sankarshan. So to say that Lord Ram is the worshipable deity of Lord Shiva is perfectly correct. So in any case, at the place called Setu Bandha, where the bridge was constructed across the sea to reach Lanka, Mahaprabhu arrived there. There's also a place called Dhanush Tirtha, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took a bath. So everybody who visits Rameshwar, they also visit this place on the sea beach, Dhanush Tirtha, and they bathe there. Because the sea is considered holy at that point. And it is also said that when Lord Ram returned after killing Ravana, at the request of Vibhishan with his bow, he destroyed that bridge that was made across the sea. That's why you don't see the sea, the bridge. Of course, there's a controversy going on for the last several years in India about whether such a bridge actually existed or not. So the empiricists, they debate this idea. Empiricists indicates those people who derive their knowledge and their faith and their understanding merely on empirical observation. They have to see. Seeing is believing. That is their dictum. So they doubt everything that's mentioned in the scripture. So the scripture is not a reliable source of evidence for them. However, we as devotees do not rely only upon empirical evidence. Sometimes, if we do find empirical evidence for histories and phenomena and events that have been mentioned in the scriptures as pertaining to long bygone ages, if we find it, we are happy, that's fine. But if it's not found, it doesn't mean we lose our faith. Because our faith is dependent on Shabda Brahma, on the transcendental sound vibration of the scriptures, the Vedic scriptures. So in any case, the Lord destroyed the Setu Bandha. Now with satellite imagery, they found some kind of man-made structure on the seabed. So anyway, there's a lot of scholarly discussion going on about all this. And there used to be one chief minister of that state of Tamil Nadu who used to be a former movie star. And not a movie star, something to do with the movies, I think. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai, Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. So he founded a party that was totally atheistic and non-Vedic. So they tried to decry everything in the Vedic scriptures. So he infamously declared one time, which engineering college did Lord Ram study in? So naturally that became a very controversial statement and many people were up in arms against him. So anyway, that is Rameshwar. There's a huge temple of Lord Shiva over there. At Rameshwar, Lord Ramachandra, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to a gathering of Brahmanas. In that gathering, he heard the Brahmanas reciting certain sections from one of the Puranas, the Kurma Purana. And therein, he heard them reciting that section which pertained to the Agni Pariksha or the fire test that Sita Devi had to undergo. Now, as you all know, once Lord Ram had defeated Ravana, killed him, and emerged victorious in that battle, and had installed Vibhishan on the throne, he returned. As he returned, however, when Sita Devi came in front of him, then he was sensitive to the fact that certain people anywhere in the world, because people talk, and they may criticize Sita as having been one who lived at the house of another man for several days. And that was not, naturally, it was not considered very good. When a married woman lives at the house of another man alone, that is not considered good at all, according to Vedic culture. So, for the sake of demonstrating to the world the 100% purity of Sita, he asked her to prove her chastity, and she said yes, and she entered into the fire. This Agni Pariksha pastime is not referred to in the Mahabharata or in some of the other scriptures. In some scriptures it is mentioned, and some places the Maya Sita idea has been mentioned, as is being seen by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Kurma Purana. So she entered the fire and then she came out unscathed to show that she was 100% pure. Now, what actually happened as per the Kurma Purana and as validated and approved by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, And as he himself will declare in the 9th chapter of this Madhyalila, that actually when Ravana came to abduct Sita, Sita put forward an illusory form of her own, which is Maya Sita, as is mentioned in this verse here. Maya Sita Nileka Ravana Tahati Likhana. So it is mentioned in the Kurma Puran that Sita Devi put forward an illusory form of hers, which is called Maya Sita. And the original Sita remained behind. Now there are two versions of this, both mentioned by Mahaprabhu in the 9th chapter. He says that Maya Sita was taken by Agni Dev, the fire god, to the residence of Parvati, the wife of Lord Shiva. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu later also says, citing the Kurma Puran, that actually Sita Devi remained at the residence, or at the abode rather, of Agni Dev. She went to Agni Dev Loka. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says both these things. And both these things can be simultaneously true as well. So then when Ram returned, after emerging victorious, then the illusory Sita entered into the fire and she disappeared. Antardhana haila, Mahaprabhu says. So she disappeared. And Agni Dev came and presented the original real Sita to Lord Ram. So this is what happened. Actually, when Mahaprabhu was visiting Madurai, the place called of southern Mathura, he met this Brahman whose name was Ramdas, Ramdas Vipra. And this Brahman invited Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his house for prasadam. So at noontime, which was the time when Mahaprabhu would honor his prasad, he arrived there and he found that there was absolutely no sign of any cooking going on, no sign of any prasadam having been prepared. So he asked the Brahmana, "What happened, dear Ramdas? You invited me for lunch here, but I don't see that you prepared anything for me." Not a very good thing for a guest to see when he reaches somebody's house, being invited for prasadam, and there's no sign of any prasadam. So Mahaprabhu asked him, "What happened, dear Ramdas?" And Ramdas said, "Oh, it's not ready, because Lakshman has gone to the forest, and when he comes back after getting the appropriate, the roots and the berries and the fruits and the vegetables, then Sita will cook, and then lunch will be ready." So this Brahmana Ramdas was a great devotee of Lord Ramachandra, and he had completely entered into the pastimes of Lord Ram. You know, during the Premadhvani prayers, which we chant at the end of the kirtan, we say Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivrajakacharyas. Sometimes we also say Nitya Leela Pravishta Om Vishnupad, so and so, Srila Prabhupada Bhakti Siddhanta, etc. So Nitya Leela Pravishta indicates that this personality, this Acharya, has entered into the pastimes of the Lord, meaning that he has gone back to the spiritual world and is no longer in the physical form in the material world. So we say Nitya Leela Pravishta. Pravishta means entered. Now the physical soul, that means the actual soul of the body of that personality, has entered Goloka Vrindavan. So that is the purport of the Nitya Leela Pravishta. He has entered into the eternal pastimes of the Lord. However, there is also another understanding of this term, Leela Pravesh, or Nitya Leela Pravesh, which is that an exalted Paramhamsa like that can be understood to be rightly having entered into the pastimes of the Lord, even though physically he is present here in this world, in the material world. Because entrance into the pastimes of the Lord is not merely a physical thing. One doesn't enter into the pastimes of the Lord only by entering into the spiritual world after one has left this body and the soul has been transferred to the spiritual world. Of course, the soul at that time does enter into the pastimes of the Lord. But because Krishna consciousness is just that, it is a matter of being conscious of Krishna. So whether one is in London or New York or Vrindavan or Mayapur or anywhere else in the world, if one is absorbed in the pastimes of the Lord, one can in one's consciousness enter into those pastimes, even physically being here. And it makes no difference from a transcendental point of view. From a relative point of view, there are distinctions in that kind of liberation. Because after all, what is liberation? Muktir hipvanitha rupam swarupena vyavasthitihi. So real liberation means to be situated in one's constitutional position. And what is that constitutional position? That is, that one is eternally the servant of Lord Krishna. That is one's constitutional position. So, and what does it mean to be the servant of the Lord? It means to love the Lord and to serve Him. And the ultimate perfection or the pinnacle of loving the Lord is that one enters into the pastimes of the Lord. Gyatum drashtum cha tattvena praveshtum cha parantapa. Bhaktya tvananyaya shakya aham evam vidhorjuna. He says, it is only by devotion, bhakti, my dear Arjuna, that you can know me as I am standing before you. Not possible by any other means. Not by jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga, karma yoga, but only by bhakti, by the process of love and devotion to the Lord. To me, he says, can you know me as I am? So by devotion, by love, we know Krishna, jnatum. When we know Krishna, we can see Him, drashtum. And when we actually see Him, because of that pure love, praveshtum, then we can enter into the mysteries of His existence and we can enter into His pastimes and into His divine abode, which is far beyond the material world. So even though the spiritual world, from a, shall we say, a physical point of view, is beyond this material world, it can also be right here, in the material world. Wherever we are, if we are Krishna conscious, that is Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada often mentioned that even though Vrindavan is a geographical place, it is southeast of Delhi, it is the same Vrindavan that exists in the spiritual world that is manifested here. It is the identical replica of that original Vrindavan. Still, Vrindavan is also very importantly a state of consciousness. So when we remember Krishna deeply, then we are in Vrindavan. And therefore Mahaprabhu says, Mora mano Vrindavana. My mind is Vrindavan. My heart is in Vrindavan. Sometimes we have devotees, they have this t-shirt with a slogan that says, I lost my heart in Vrindavan. Yeah? Of course, you must know what it means. It's not just a fashion to have that, to appear cool in devotee associations, I lost my heart in Vrindavan. It's not an easy thing. You know, it's a sign of a very exalted devotee to have lost the heart in Vrindavan. Many times people lose their heart in Vrindavan to other things apart from Vrindavan. So what is it we have lost there in Vrindavan? Of course, it's better to have that slogan than to have so many other inane slogans that people have on their t-shirts. They don't really mean anything, just meaningless things they put up on their t-shirts. So in any case, Vrindavan is a state of consciousness. So many times Prabhupada said, if you are conscious of Krishna, then you are in Vrindavan. If you are remembering Krishna, you are in Vrindavan. If you don't remember Krishna, wherever you are, even if you are physically in Vrindavan, you won't get that much benefit. Of course, physically contacting the Dham has its own benefits. You touch the dust of Braja, you get purified, undoubtedly. But then there is a risk of committing offenses against the Dham as well. So one can enter into the pastimes of the Lord. One can be Nitya Leela Pravishta, even being in London, if that is a state of consciousness that one cultivates. So, this Brahman Ramdas Vipra was in Ram consciousness. He was completely absorbed. He went deep into these pastimes. And he would lose sight of, he completely lost track of his physical whereabouts and the reality of the external world. In the Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami speaks about that Brahmana who was very poor and he didn't have money to arrange for the gorgeous worship of the deity of the Lord. But he was very devoted. So he sat in deep meditation upon the Lord and in his mind he started worshipping the deity of the Lord. And he first of all got the waters from all the sacred rivers, the Ganga, Yamuna, Kaveri, Sindhu, Tapti, Narmada, and so on, in his mind. He performed wonderful abhishek of the Lord. He arranged for all sorts of wonderful clothes, silken clothes and jewels, etc., to decorate the Lord, all in his mind. And then he got all sorts of delicious foodstuffs prepared with ingredients from everywhere. He cooked in his mind and he offered all these foodstuffs to Krishna. And then he performed arati with all sorts of fragrant substances like aguru and sandalwood and so on, all in his mind. When he was preparing sweet rice and he was boiling the milk, he wanted to test whether the milk was really hot. So he touched whether it was still really hot. So he touched the milk in his mind. And his finger got burnt, not in his mind. In his mind as well as the physical finger. So he came out of meditation and he saw that his finger was burnt. Physically. His physical body was affected. So it goes to show that in deep meditation, in deep consciousness, one can live in the holy abode of the Lord. And there are numerous such pastimes of our acharyas that are given in our historical books and in the scriptures. So this Brahmana, Ramdas Vipra, was so absorbed in the pastimes of Lord Ram that he was living it. Even though he was externally in Madurai, southern Mathura, but he was actually in Ayodhya in his mind. Not in Ayodhya actually, because Lord Ram was in the forest as far as he was concerned. So he said, Lakshman hasn't returned yet. He is still to collect the roots and the berries and the fruits and vegetables from the forest. When he returns, then Sita will cook the food and then I will be able to serve you. And that's not a kind of answer that you'd like to hear when you go to somebody's house. You are invited for prasadam, and then this devotee tells you, you know, I'm just thinking, you know, Ram, Sita hasn't cooked yet. He says, you cook, not Sita, yes. You're hungry. But Lord Chaitanya wasn't upset. In fact, he was extremely happy because he liked this method of worship. You know, Mahaprabhu has come here to teach us ecstatic devotion, the mood of worshipping the Lord in ecstatic devotion, being completely absorbed, as opposed to that form of worship which is mechanical, which is ritualistic, which is done as some kind of a formality, just something officially done because it has to be done. But there's not much love there. So Mahaprabhu has come to teach us that process of spiritual realization which is centered on ecstatic love for the Supreme Lord. That love which even transcends the ordinary rules and regulations that are necessary for ordinary people. And when he saw this ecstatic devotion and this intense and deep absorption in the pastimes of the Lord in Ramdas Vipra, he became very happy. And then Lord Chaitanya said, we will wait, but why are you so sad? What is the matter? He was fasting. He says, no, I'm feeling too much pain in my heart. You see, when Mahaprabhu mentioned, then he started cooking. And it was only at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, finally, that Mahaprabhu was able to honor a prasadam. So at 12 o'clock, Ramdas Vipra was too much in his absorption. So finally, when he came out of his absorption, he was able to cook, get himself together to cook. And by the time he served Mahaprabhu, it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So Mahaprabhu honored the prasadam, but Ramdas Vipra didn't eat. So Mahaprabhu said, why aren't you eating? He said, I'm fasting. Because he said, why? What's the reason for fasting? I'm very unhappy. So what happened? He said, I want to end my life either by entering into the fire or into the water. He said, why? Because I can't bear the thought that my worshipable Sita Devi, who is Jagan Mata, who is Mahalakshmi. Jagan Mata means that she is the mother of the whole universe. And she is Mahalakshmi, she is the supreme goddess of fortune. That she has been touched by the vile and evil Ravana. And he picked her up, he physically picked her up and abducted her and took her to Lanka. The very thought of Ravana touching the holy goddess of fortune, Sita Devi, is so abhorrent to me that it gives me enormous pain. I cannot tolerate this pain. So I'd rather not live. I just want to go and jump into the fire or into the water. So Mahaprabhu was astonished to see this mood. And he said, my dear Brahmana, you are a learned Pandita. It does not behoove of you to speak in this way. You know, do you not know that actually Lord Ravana, maybe I'm entering in the wrong way into the pastimes myself. So Lord Ram is the eternal husband of Sita Devi. She is his consort. She is his transcendental potency. And she is forever Chidananda Rupa. Her form is always made of blissful spiritual energy. She doesn't have an ordinary body, a material body like us. So spiritual substance is forever beyond the jurisdiction of matter. And therefore, don't think that Ravana touched her. Mahaprabhu says, Ishvara Priyasi Sita Chidananda Rupa. So she is the beloved of Lord Ram. And she is Chidananda Rupa, a blissful spiritual form. Prakrita Indriyar Tare Dikhite Nahi Shakti. The ordinary material senses, they cannot touch spiritual form, especially that of the Supreme Goddess. A prakrita vastu nahe prakrita gochara, veda purane e kohe nirantara. So there are two kinds of substances, a prakrita vastu and prakrita vastu. Vastu means a substance. Prakrita means material. That pertains to prakriti, the material nature. And a prakrita means that which is not material, which means it is spiritual. So Mahaprabhu says, a prakrita vastu nahe prakrita gochara. Gochara means within the range. Nahi means not. So spiritual substance is not within the range of material substance. Which means material senses cannot even see spiritual substance. What to speak of touching spiritual substance? And herein lies the problem that modern empiricists face. They want us to prove the soul empirically, whereas the soul is intrinsically beyond material perception. They want to prove the existence of the soul by material means, by empirical methods which they use in modern science. The modern methods of research, even in the humanities like history, rely a lot on empirical evidence. That can work up to a point. It is important. Such empirical evidence cannot be rejected, because after all, even in our day-to-day existence, we do rely on empirical evidence very largely. But empirical evidence works up to a point. Beyond that, phenomena go beyond the range of the material senses. And therefore, we need to take recourse to other sources of evidence, namely the Vedic scriptures. So Mahaprabhu is making a very important point here. With your material senses, you cannot even see something spiritual. What to speak of touching that substance? And Sita Devi is not some ordinary spirit soul. She is the direct potency of the Lord. She is Chidananda Rupam. She is the Mahalakshmi form, the supreme goddess of fortune. She is the mother of the whole universe. So how can anybody, especially someone as evil as Ravana, be able to touch her? That's not possible. Just as the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna expands himself into innumerable other forms, each of which is identical with him in every respect. Similarly, Krishna's primary potency, his pleasure potency, Ladini Shakti, Srimati Radharani, who is the original consort of the original form of the Lord, also expands herself into innumerable such expansions, all equally transcendental as her. And these energetic expansions of Srimati Radharani become consorts of the different expansions of Krishna. So therefore, just as Krishna expands as Lord Narayan, Radharani expands as Lakshmi. Krishna in Vrindavan expands as Dwarkadish in Dwarka. Srimati Radharani expands ultimately to become all the queens of Dwarka. Just as Krishna expands as Narayan with all the Lakshmis in Dwarka, the queens, so also with the gopis. Similarly, Krishna expands as Lord Ramachandra, and Srimati Radharani eventually expands as Sita Devi. So there is no difference between Radha Krishna and Sita Ram and Lakshmi Narayan. So you have the potency and then the potent. The supreme potent with the supreme potency. The supreme energetic with the supreme energy. So there is no difference, Prabhupada explains, between Radha Krishna and Sita Ram, Lakshmi Narayan. The difference is in rasa, is in transcendental mellow. That's all. Otherwise, they are identical. So when we understand the actual position of Sita Devi, then how can it be possible that Ravan would touch? So please rest assured, that was actually when the Brahmana becomes a little pacified and then he eats. And thus Kaviraj Goswami explains that Brahmana's life was saved. Otherwise he would have fasted unto death, probably left this world. Then this Madurai actually is in the branch, is on the banks of a river. Srila Prabhupada explains in the 9th chapter of the Madhya Leela. And he calls that river is mentioned as Bhagai and also as Vaigai. And later it is mentioned by Kaviraj Goswami as Kritamala. I just checked the Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto just before the class over here, just to refresh my memory. And indeed, this river Kritamala is mentioned by Karabhajana Rishi, one of the 9 Yogendras in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He mentions this river Kritamala, which is now known as Vaigai, and on whose banks the well-known city of Madurai is. And he says that people in Satya Yuga will look forward to being born in Kali Yuga, and especially to associate with those great devotees in Dravida Desh, which means South India, where pure-hearted devotees will drink the pure waters of the holy rivers like Kritamala, Payaswini, Kaveri, Tamraparni, etc. So some of these rivers are mentioned here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the river Vaigai or Kritamala that passes by Madurai is also mentioned there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And there is the little history about this is that there was a king of the Pandya dynasty, and he had a daughter whose name was Meenakshi, and she was an expansion of goddess Parvati. And her heart was set upon marrying Lord Shiva. Her parents tried to dissuade her, but she was very firm in her resolve. So finally the parents agreed. And the father, the king, approached Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva agreed. The date of the wedding was finalized and everything happened, and the bridegroom, Lord Shiva, came. Now normally when the bridegroom comes for the wedding, his whole party comes as well, right? So there's so many people who come with him. And naturally, the bride's parents prepare food for so many people, expecting that the bridegroom is going to be accompanied by many other family members. But Lord Shiva came alone, with only one associate. And so the Meenakshi's father, the king, was not happy. He said, you know, I've prepared such a huge quantity of prasadam, of food, and who's going to have that? You come alone, you know. So Lord Shiva is not an ordinary person. He said, never mind. I have an associate here whose name is Kundodhara. And he has a pretty voracious appetite. So he said, Kundodhara, go for it. So Kundodhara really went for it. And he finished everything. And now he needed some water to digest all the food. So then the water of all the tanks and the lakes and, you know, everything else in Madurai was not enough. He wanted more. So Shiva felt compassion upon his associate. So he unlocked his hair. You know, Ganga flows in the locks of his hair. And he released a little part of that water there. And then then he said, extend your hand forward. So that's in the Tamil language. I don't speak the Tamil language. Any of you are Tamil, you might be able to correct me. But in the Tamil language, Vaigai means extend your hand. Put your hand forward. So he told his associate Kundodhara, put your hand forward. So then Lord Shiva let the water of the Ganga into the palms of his associate Kundodhara, who then drank to his full satisfaction. And the water that flowed off from his hands then became this river Vaigai or the Kritamala. So that's actually the Ganga. There's so many interesting pastimes like this. And now there is a famous Meenakshi temple there in Madurai, which is temple of goddess Durga. And there is a temple of Rameshwar and also Sundarishwar. But the form of Lord Shiva that Meenakshi married is Sundarishwar. So Madurai or the southern Mathura is famous for this. So anyway, Mahaprabhu had gone here, then he went to Rameshwar. Actually, he also came to a place called Tamraparni, which is also mentioned in the same list that Karabhajan Rishi said. And then he came back. When he heard these brahmanas at Rameshwar reciting some passages from the Kurma Puran, he was overjoyed. He remembered Ramdas Vipra in Madurai. He requested the brahmanas to get the original leaves of the manuscript of the Kurma Puran. And then the brahmanas kindly agreed. They did this service for Mahaprabhu, so they were delivered, I'm sure. But they had to copy it. Just like today, if somebody wants a book, you know, you photocopy it, right? But there they would have to copy it by hand. So the brahmanas copied those two manuscript leaves that Mahaprabhu requested and took away. So they copied them on other leaves and replaced it in their copy. And Mahaprabhu took the original manuscript leaves and walked all the way back to Madurai just for Ramdas Vipra. Pretty long distance, but he still walked back. So Kaviraj Goswami explains that in Mahaprabhu's journey in South India, he did a lot of these things, walking back and forth, left and right, you know. It wasn't like one logistically well-organized route. He just went wherever his heart said. So now his heart was keen on consoling Ramdas Vipra. So he went all the way back to Madurai. And he showed this manuscript to Ramdas Vipra, wherein it is said that it was the illusory Sita who was actually taken away by Ravan, and she was the one who was in Lanka. And the real Sita was in the abode of Agnidev. And when Lord Ram came and Sita stepped forward, it was the Maya Sita. Agni made her disappear, and he presented the real Sita to Lord Ram once again. So when the Brahmana heard this, he was extremely happy. And in his joy, he said, "Now I understand, looking at you, that you are that same Lord Ramachandra who has appeared in this Kali Yuga in this golden complexion. So this time, please come to my house, and I assure you there will not be a repeat of what happened last time." Just in case Mahaprabhu may hesitate, thinking, "No, I'll go, and then, you know, again I have to wait for 3 hours for prasadam," you know. So when somebody comes to your house, you should also ask the guest, you know, when would you like to take? Would you like to take immediately or, you know, after some time? If the guest is hungry and says, "Yeah, right away," then feed the guest right away. If the guest says, "I'm, you know, not so hungry yet, I'd rather wait for half an hour," then you sit and have some chat and so on. But it's not that the guest is hungry and you engage in conversation and goes on and on, and this in his mind he's thinking, "When are they going to serve me prasadam?" So anyway, Mahaprabhu was happy to oblige, and he went, and then Ramdas Vipra fed him a sumptuous meal, a very nice, delicious meal. Mahaprabhu had prasadam to his full satisfaction and then left again. So this is the pastime that's briefly mentioned in this verse over here. So we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments?